so we are getting into a new series. I purpose to not give you the title. I send out my little message because generosity, a lot of times people are like, oh no, what's this going to be about? Something about money. And but I finished up my series last month. How many of you enjoyed what we talked about? Seeking God, putting God first. That's what we talked about all month long. And so today's message is really kind of a transition into generosity. It was actually connected. What we talked about last month is still connected to what we're talking about this month. And I'm going to show you how in a little bit. But I want to first say, what is generosity? Generosity is living a life where you make an eternal difference. Amen. How many of you want to make an internal difference to people in this world? It's like a lot of people, oh, I want to leave my mark on this world. Let me tell you, I want to leave my mark on eternity. Amen. I want my life to count for something more than whatever this life is. And I want to live a life that is outside of selfishness. How many of you realize we live in a selfish world? Self-centered culture that we live in, and we want to focus on the things that God has really called us to. So the little underline here is there's a freedom in a generous heart. You realize when you are a generous person, you are a different person altogether. Because what's the opposite is a stingy, self-focused person. That is a miserable life. Like look at Scrooge, right? He wasn't happy until he became generous, right? So let's be honest. We all battle with a little selfishness, am I right? I mean, my hand is up, and it manifests its way many ways. And I just wondered, my wife already told a story on hers, so I want to tell you about my selfish moment. Right now, we have Joshua and Heather with our twin grandbabies, 14 months old, living with us, and man, we love the snuggles, all of that, the play. But let me just tell you, every now and then, and this was like something happened last week, they'll come up to you and there's this tremendous odor coming with them. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Poor Asher, super cute. I picked him up. I was doing this, like taking him there where his backside was right about here. And like something literally reached out of his diaper and slapped me across the face. Like I still feel it now. It was so bad. It stunk up the whole, am I right? It was bad. And I started to wonder if I needed to go sacrifice a lamb and put the blood over the door because I think the death angel came in. It was rough. And let me just say, I was not the loving, selfless pop and saying, hey, listen, I'll change that diaper. Oh, no. It was like, hey, here you go. Right? So let me just say, we did our time. And I just feel that I've changed them before, but if I don't have to, I'm not going to. I'm just telling you. So I say that to let you know we all can grow in our generosity. Amen? And you know, like Pastor Colleen said, you guys are a very generous church. You know, between our two services, and she already said one of it, but I wanted to give you guys a big picture, and I want you to imagine just for the last 6 weeks, which included the last Sunday of December, in 6 weeks, I want to tell you guys what you guys have done. In the middle of January, the fires broke out, and we're like, listen, we're going to take up some money to send to the Los Angeles Dream Center, because we just want to help out. We want to do what God has called us to. And as a church, you guys gave $1,747 to the Los Angeles Dream Center. And I thought that was amazing. And then Pastor Colleen already told you, but we had $8,400 go to Good News India. That's just in the last, yes, we can give the Lord a hand clap to that. That's already like $10,000 right there. And then 20 names got picked up to help sponsor a child in India at $40 a month in a year's time. That's $9,600 that's going to sponsor. And he even said, he goes, wow, for a church your size, he goes, that's extremely generous. So, that's amazing right there. That's not all. So, we're going to give the Lord a hand clap here in a minute. The Good Campaign, which has gone to, if you didn't know, we're trying to pay this building off. And, when we started this a year ago, it was about $320,000. We're just short of $40,000 right now. And but next month is going to be the end, and whatever comes in gets doubled. So because of a very generous couple that come to our church, I'm not telling you who, they're because they don't want the glory for themselves. Amen. And so listen, I don't know how much is going to come in. I would love to see us hit 50,000. I mean, how many of you think that's possible? We still got one more month. And with that, so we had in the last 6 weeks, almost $15,000 that have come in for that. Amen. That's on top of all of this other giving. And let me not forget, how many of you know we've got missionaries on that back wall that we give, and it goes to all over the place. And we had $9,570 come in for a special offering and for just our regular monthly giving to our missionaries. So with that being said, you guys as a church in the last 6 weeks gave $44,264 above our tithe. Amen. Can we give God the glory for that? And let me tell you, that's better than giving to USAID because we did not get any kickback from that. All right. All of that is going. All of that is going. Sorry. I just had to throw that in there. So that's been crazy, hasn't it? I don't want to get sidetracked. Come on, let's praise the Lord. This is just a snapshot, like when we want to be obedient, we don't got to be the biggest church. That's such good English, isn't it? We don't got to be. Hey, listen, just in case you didn't know, I am from Texas, so every now and then that's going to come out. We don't have to be the biggest church to make a difference in the kingdom. Amen. And you don't have to be a rich person, because out of all of that, there's some people that maybe they gave $50, maybe they gave $100, but all of that combined makes a difference in the kingdom. Because a lot of times, well, man, that's a lot of money. I don't have that much money. Listen, God is not looking at the amount, He's looking at the heart. Amen. That's what matters. So, like I said, just a snapshot of what I believe God has done, but I believe that God wants to do even more. Amen. Amen. So generosity is one of our values. You can go on our website. We have a list of values. And in case you haven't read it lately, here it is right here. Generosity is our privilege. It is about giving more than what is required. We see generosity as a privilege. We're generous with, it's not just our money, is it? Our time, our talents, and our treasure. And we go first in our giving. God has given richly towards us. How many of you know God has given us everything we need? Amen. And so we honor Him by giving back. Amen. It's a powerful, powerful thing. You guys are making a difference in the world. And I left the letter back there again, but this was just one other example. In December, we had excess mission money that came in. So we sent to like 9 different missionaries a Christmas bonus, $500, for them to be able to use personally. Because a lot of times missionaries, that you know, they're living on a very tight budget. And we got several letters back from our missionaries, like, I just saw my giving, and thank you so much for that extra gift. Like, we don't even know what that does for them, but it was encouraging. So you guys are making a difference. And so the message I want to share today, please hear my heart. I'm not here to manipulate or guilt anybody. Amen? I just want to highlight, listen, there are many here that are generous already. But if this is an area that you struggle with, and listen, I've struggled with it, right? If it's an area, I want to encourage you and possibly do what Hebrews 10:25 says. Check it out. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards good love and good deeds. So I borrowed some spurs from Doris. I saw her, and there she is right there. She gave me the clean one, she said, so I'm thankful for that. Because these are working spurs. But how many of you know a spur is not intended to hurt a horse? Right? You know that. It's not like, you know, I've seen, you see on the Western, they look like little sharp stars. It's like, how? That would hurt. It's not intended to hurt, but it is intended to make them uncomfortable to get them to move on. Right? And sometimes God's word does that to us. It's like, you know, it might kind of hurt, but it's really make you uncomfortable enough to make you think about it and move on. And so that's what we're going to be doing. So today, you might be hearing some stuff and you're like, oh, ow, you know what? Just think, it's just a spur. It's just to try to make you a little, that's what God, how many of you have had God spur you on things? Thank God for that. I don't want to be in a church where I never feel that, right? I don't want to be like, oh, you're good, God's good, everything's good, and we're all good. Amen, have a good week. How many of you know we all need a little spurring every now and then? Amen? Amen. So, like I said, you guys are generous, and my heart echoes. Our heart echoes. It's great to be a part of a church that's generous. Amen. So we're going to talk today about money and finances. Why would we do that? Because let's be honest, when we do it, many people get very tense and awkward. Am I right? Like, oh, great. Like if you invited somebody today and they're here with you, or maybe your first time, it's like, oh, man, why did I come on that day, right? Well, I just want to encourage you that we can talk about a lot of different subjects, and people may, ooh, amen, praise God, wonderful pastor, hallelujah. But when you mention money, all of a sudden people are like, don't talk about my money. Don't you be talking. Why is that? Why is that? And I think it's the reason I titled this message, What My Money Actually Reveals About Me. What does my money reveal about me? And so I just want you to calm down a minute. Don't get worked up about a church talking about money. All they want is your money, right? The reason I do is because the Bible, do you realize the Bible actually has over 2,000 scriptures that talk about money and finances? So do we not talk about that? Jesus talked about finances more than he talked, more than prayer and faith combined. I mean, that's crazy, right? 15% of all, of all of Jesus' teaching was directly connected to money. Why is that? Because money isn't bad. We just need a different perspective, right? We should not have the same understanding and thinking about money and possession as the world does. Because we are different. We are redeemed. And in a world that is always pursuing more, you need more. A follower of Jesus should evaluate, okay, what is the deal about money and possessions? What? How should I think about it? What should my perspective be? Because like I said, money's not bad. How many of you know your spirituality and how close you are to God? It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. God's not like, well, you don't have enough money to get that close to me. It's not an issue to God. God is not looking at your bank account. Amen? And so it's not about what you have. It's how much does your money have you? Right? It's not about your possessions, but how much do your possessions have hold of you? And so that's the fill-in in your notes. Money isn't evil, but it is a great revealer in our life. Our money reveals a lot. It reveals our heart. It reveals our priorities in life, and honestly, it reveals what we truly care about, the things that are really important. Like I heard people say, "You show me what your money is, and I'll show you what's important to you." Right? It's true. And so, in this message, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about how we spend our money, how it really matters. And again, please hear my heart. It's not about condemning. I'm not here to shame anybody, but to get you thinking about money a little bit differently. Amen. I love this quote by Billy Graham. And I grabbed a picture on there where it looks like he's preaching to you. So just imagine Billy Graham is here alive, right? He'd have to be resurrected. And he's got that big old finger. But he says, tell me what you think about money, and I will tell you what you think about God. For these two are closely related. A man's heart is closer to his wallet than anything else. Ow, right? If you want to snap a photo of that and take it home and share it with someone, go for it, right? Here's the thing. I want you to look at how a believer, as a Christian, should think about finances and what your current spending habits has to do with. So Jesus shows us, and this is where I'm going to connect last series about seeking God first with what we're doing today, because I want to go to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. If you guys remember last month, if you were here, in Matthew 6, Jesus talks about three disciplines every Christian needs in order to really walk in the blessings and walk in closeness with him. And so last month, we talked about two of them. We talked about prayer. And if you remember in that, Jesus, that was the Lord's Prayer. He says, this is how you should pray. He didn't tell you what to pray. He doesn't want you just to quote the Lord's Prayer, and I talked about that. We broke it down, and we also talked about fasting. That's the second discipline that Jesus is talking about. And listen, if you didn't get a chance, how many of you know fasting should be a part of our life? Not just the first, we did 21 days. How many of you know you got decisions? If you need a breakthrough in life, it's a way of humbling ourselves and coming to God. And it's like, you know what? Maybe you do a one-day fast. Maybe you miss a meal or whatever. But whatever you do, you're doing it as unto God. not to manipulate him, but to humble yourself. Amen. And so I didn't talk about the third principle, discipline, because I knew I was going to talk about it this month. And plus, last month was that focus. But this next one, it's very consequential in our life. And it's the discipline of giving, right? Or walking in generosity. And Jesus said in this passage, he's like, when you pray, when you fast, and then he goes in this next part talking quite a bit about our money, because it's really applicable to our life. So I'm going to read the passage, and then I'm going to break it down for you. So Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19, he says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be. The next section here, it's kind of weird because it's in between two passages talking about it. But he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So I'm going to talk about how that relates to money in a minute. But the last verse, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he hate one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one, despise the other. And he says, you cannot serve both God and money. And the reason that's capitalized, because how many of you know, you've heard God and mammon? All right, mammon is actually a name of a Syrian god about possessions. And so there's actually, can be a spirit attached to our money if we're not careful. But I'm not going to get into that today, but I just want you to understand there's something more to it than it just being our money. So today we're going to cover the three things that will basically that your money reveals in your life. And number one, you can write it in your notes. If you know, we do take notes here. How many of you, and does anybody like taking the notes? Yeah. Right? Because you can take it home, you can remember, you can look at it, and you can fact check me all day long because I got the scriptures all in there. Amen. So my money reveals my priorities. My priorities in life, like wherever I spend my money. And if people ask you questions like, what are the things you care about in life? Like if I asked you and you can write down all the things that I care, can I let you in on a little secret? There's a lot of things that we say we care about, but we really don't care about. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Oh, I really care about that. Well, what kind of actions do you have in your life that prove that you actually care about that? All right. I mean, I know I'm stepping on. Where's my spur? Right. So a lot of times, yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, I really care. Like, let me give you a good example. I really care about the poor. Oh, yeah, I really care about them. Well, then what if somebody says, well, what was the last thing you ever did to help the poor? Right, man, you guys got quiet, right? All right, let's get something a little lighter. Right. I care about eating healthy. As a matter of fact, I've eaten two salads this week. Yeah, I had a few donuts and other stuff like that, but hey, you know what? I really care about eating healthy. I don't know why I'm not losing weight. I had those two salads, and I only had a little bit of ranch dressing on it, like no more than a cup. Or, okay, how about this one? I care about exercise. I go to that gym on a regular basis at least twice a month. Right? Let me just say, we've got to come to a point where we stop deceiving ourselves into thinking we care about things that we really don't. And I can't tell you how many people deceive themselves by saying, oh, God is number one in my life. God is number one in my life. And he may be in the top 10, but is he really number one? Is he really number one in my life? Does it reflect it in my life? How do we know if God is number one in our life? Well, let's go back to what Jesus said out of verse 19. He says, do not store for yourself what? Treasures where? On earth. So a lot of times, I mean, we buy things, we have house payments, we got all of that stuff, but we got to think about how much do I invest on things on this earth versus things that are in heaven? Because I don't know if you realize that everything on this earth one day is going to burn, right? We can't take in, you know, heard the cliche, there are no U-Hauls or hearse pulling U-Hauls, We can't take any of it with us, but so many people spend all of their money. I need a bigger house. I need a boat. I need a bigger car. I need all of these things. Oh, I need all of that. And it's like they're spending all of their treasure on earth. And Jesus says, don't do that. He goes, store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy. And listen, I understand this because all of us have bills to pay. Anybody not have bills to pay? The kids are in there, right? But rent, mortgage, the important things we like to eat, food, gas, insurance, and the really expensive things like eggs, right? It used to be cheap. Well, I saw somebody meme that says, yeah, back in my day, eggs and toilet paper were so cheap, we used to throw it at people's houses, right? I hope that wasn't you. But here's the thing. I believe Jesus is wanting to refocus us and make sure that our finances have a connection to heaven. Amen. Right? Have a connection to something more than what just goes on in this earth. And so the question is, where is the connection with heaven in your life? Where are your finances there? And let me just clear up a misconception because, again, like I said, when we talk about money, people get a little weird about it. Like, oh, when's this service going to be over, right? How many of you know God doesn't need your money? Right. Amen? He doesn't need it. He already owns everything, right? If he wants it, I mean, think about Job. If he wants it, he can take it. Right. You know, I'd rather give it than have him take it. But here's the thing. God is not after your money. Do you realize God's after your heart? Right. Yeah. Amen? God's after your heart. He's not after your stuff. He's after our soul. Amen? He's after who we are, not after your possessions. Listen, he died on a cross so that he could take possession of us in a good way. Let me just put it that way. So how do we know if we truly belong to God? We got to look at what we spend our finances on. We got to look and make sure that there's part of our money that's connected to heaven. Something that we are storing up there, that's going to show you. That's why Jesus said this. He went on in verse 21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. How many of you know? That's why I said God wants your heart. That's why Jesus came. And so wherever my treasure is, that's where my heart. I put it in the Message version like this. The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and, guess what, end up being. I'm going to tell you what, I want to be in heaven. Right? I want my life connected right there, and I want to put my treasure. Yes, I still pay my bills. Yes, I still, you know, we still do these different things, but I want to tell you, I want to make sure a portion of what God has given me is connected to him. Amen? So the question to you, does God really have your heart? And if he does, it's going to be reflected in your finances. Amen? Let me just let that sink in for a minute. It's going to be there. And I know, yeah, people are like, oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. But let me ask you, is it reflected in anything that you've given? All right? Is it there? And it's like, well, it's everywhere but there. Well, honestly, if it's not there, it's nowhere. All right? I mean, I know, let me pull out my spur again. All right? Some of these things, but we have to be honest with ourselves. We can't just keep fooling. Our money, it really is what matters. That's why people get upset, because if they've spent it on this side of heaven and it's all about that, they get upset about money because you're talking about their heart. Right. Oh, you're talking, no, don't touch that. Don't. And so let me just say, if you're mad right now, ask yourself why. Yeah. All right? Yeah. Ask yourself why. Why would I be upset about that? Because if God's got my heart, this wouldn't make me upset. If God's really got my heart, I love this. There's this quote by Martin Luther. He says, there are three conversions necessary: the conversion of the heart, of the mind, and the purse. Some of you men are like, yeah, it doesn't say wallet, so I'm good, right? I joked about this in the first service. It started out, men, everybody had a purse, and it's kind of going back to that way. Lord help us, right? I cracked myself up. So here's what he's basically saying. If the salvation Jesus paid for has not affected your finances, then I would challenge if you've really been transformed. All right? Maybe partially transformed, but it's like, how many of you know God wants to do a complete work? Amen? Your money and your finances, they really are a part of who you are. Right? It's my money, and I want it now, right? I mean, I remember that annoying commercial. So You will know when God really has a hold of your life, when it really affects how you spend. Right? If it doesn't affect that, because treasures in heaven versus treasures on earth, that's why Paul said this in 2 Corinthians. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, right? The things of this earth that are temporary, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So what are the unseen things? We gave all that money to Good News India. What is that? Well, I don't know where that's going, but I know that God does. And I know that there's going to be eternity someday that somebody's going to come back and like, thanks for giving to this project. Yeah. Some of those people that you sponsored, kids, you may never meet them, but I'll tell you, God may use them in amazing ways. Amen. LA Dream Center, all of that. And I believe that this is really where you step up from being just a nominal Sunday morning Christian to really becoming who God has called you to be. Amen. All right, man, this is a quiet one today, so had to throw some jokes in there. So the second one, he goes in, I just read this, again, kind of a weird chapter or verse if you read it, thinking about why is it in the middle of these two verses talking about money? But the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body is going to be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So number two in your notes, my money reveals my focus. The things that I look at, the things that I allow in my mind. And I don't know if you know, today we live in a world where we, on the average, I don't know who did this study. They say you, average person sees 5,000 ads a day. That's crazy. And how many of you know, if you got your phone, it's almost like it gets conditioned for the things that you really want. And it pops up and it's like, well, how did they know I wanted that? That's amazing. And not to creep anybody out, but how many of you know your phone is listening to you? Everybody, turn it off. It's listening. You start saying things like if you want, you know, wives, if you want your husband to buy you something, just grab their phone someday and start saying it in there. New diamond ring, new diamond ring, new diamond ring, right? All of a sudden, they're going to be like, wow, why do I keep getting these diamond rings coming up? Like maybe I'm just telling you, it's there. It hears what you're saying. You search for something one time, and guess what? You get slammed with it, right? And so we got to be careful, because if it's something you want, advertisers know how to get to you. Oh, man, you know, oh, I want that. You know, shiny new thing. I got to have that, right? I remember we had a person work for us at, not here, at another place, that when they started coming out with iPhones, he would get one every single time. Right, every year they were coming out with them every year, and it's like, oh, I got to get the new one. Oh, I got to get the new one. I got to get the new one. I have to have it. I've known some pastor friends of mine that every time a new iPad and an iPhone would come out, they would get the new one, and they're like, oh, I got to have the new one. I got, and we like to fool ourselves why we need it. I need it for ministry. I need it. Oh, this will help. And I just wanted to, I never said it, but I wanted to say, listen, a new iPhone and iPad is not going to make you preach better. Yeah. Amen. It's not going to make your church grow. And I can just tell you that the iPad I have is 12 years old. And we didn't even buy it new. I wasn't going to spend that amount of money for an iPad. It was $200, and it was like, it's still working. But let me tell you, I still see some of those new ones out there, and I'm like, ooh, that one looks nice. Man, that one, really, man, church will probably grow by 100 people if I buy that one, right? And I see that, right? I'm just, because listen, if your eyes are focused on the wrong things, you know what it does. It says that it brings in darkness. That darkness is greed, envy, covetousness. Ooh, I got to have that. I got to have that. Let me just say, when Pastor Colleen and I bought our first house and our second house we bought when we moved up here, you know, it's like they go through, oh, you qualify for this amount of money. And we were kind of like, what? And it's like some people say, I'm going to get every bit that I'm qualified for. We were like, we are not going to get everything we're qualified for. Right? As a matter of fact, we went about $100,000 down below what we qualified for, because why? My finances are affected. I don't want all of my money tied up in a house. Oh, I can't do anything because, oh, yeah, we got to make that house payment. Right? Got to make that house payment. When we got a new car to us, five years ago, we needed a car. And we did not buy a brand new car, even though we qualified for a brand new car. So we ended up getting a three-year-old car. Why? Because, again, I don't want my money tied up in a car. Right? And like, oh, there's a need coming forward. You know what? Well, man, you know what? I got that house payment. I got that car payment. I can't do anything. I want to be able to have my money freed up. And I love what Jesus said in Luke. He said to them, watch out, be on guard. What's that? How many of you ever see fencing? What do they say? On guard, right? And against what? All kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession. This is how my mind works. I'm sorry, but this is what I saw, right? The little fencer, greed is coming out. And how many of you know he is trying to get you? Look at this shiny thing. Look at this shiny thing. And Jesus is saying, hey, listen, you better have your sword out. Because the enemy wants you to get in so much debt and so much that you're just miserable. Right? I remember, you know, when we were in Colorado Springs and I got out of the military. My first job was selling milk door to door. Yes, I was the milkman. And yes, I heard all the jokes. All of my kids look like the milkman, you know, so... I can't deny it. But here's the thing. I would go to some of these super nice houses that, you know, I don't even know how big they are. And there were some of them that you walked in, they're like, oh, yeah, because we were giving out free half gallons of milk so they could taste it. And it was a shiny thing I was offering them. Anyway, and they would come, I would come in their house, and I can't tell you, there's probably four or five different houses I went in. They didn't have furniture. They had lawn furniture in their house. And it was like, and I remember a couple of them, I stopped asking after the second one, like, oh, did you guys just move in? No, we've been here for 5 years. And I'm like, they afforded the house, but they can't afford furniture. All right? So don't get sucked in. That house was that greed. You got to get it. You got to get it. You got to get that thing. Hebrews says this, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. How many of you know that's huge, right? And it says, why? How can I be content? Because God says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Can I tell you, when you have God in your life, you don't have to have stuff. Amen. Amen? You don't have to have all of that stuff. How can we be content by being and having him in our life? And that's just so opposite of the culture. Our world that we live in, let me just say, culture pulls us towards self. You, me, I need this, I need that, I need all of these things. Christianity calls us towards sacrifice. Amen? I would rather live a life of sacrifice than a life of feeding only myself. Amen? I believe that there are many people in our world, even Christians, that are missing out on satisfaction because they think it's just about getting stuff. Oh, if I got this, if I could just get that, if I could just buy that, when really it's about being a blessing to other people. Amen? No wonder the Rolling Stones couldn't get any satisfaction. Even though they just can't get no. There's another bad English. They must be from Texas also, right? So I think they're from England or something like that. They couldn't be satisfied. Let me tell you, a lot of people in the world, they get all the stuff in the world and they're so unsatisfied. Amen? And here's the truth of that. This is a fill-in. When I lack satisfaction in God, I will start to pursue satisfaction in stuff. Amen? Isn't that true? It's like find peace in God. Find the joy of serving God. Find how much God loves you. And yes, it's okay to have stuff. It's okay to have a nice car. I'm not saying, man, you better sell it and go get a jalopy. It's okay to have that, again, as long as it doesn't have you. Right? Find your joy. Find your satisfaction in him. How many of you guys are still with me on this? All right, nobody's ready to throw rocks at me, I hope, because today is just a day to evaluate. I'm just challenging you to evaluate, okay, well, what has my thought process been about money? Well, how have I looked at it? So we talked about priorities. We talked about the things we're looking at. Verse 24, he said this, no one can serve two masters. Either he's going to hate one or he's going to love the other, or he's going to be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So number three in your notes, my money reveals my God. There's my spur. I'm not meaning to hurt anybody, right? But it might make you uncomfortable, right? So the question is, what is God in my life? Whatever you give to first, right? Whatever comes first, whatever you financially invest in first, that becomes your number one priority. Oh, I got to grow my business. Oh, I got to, you know, make my car payment. Oh, I got to do all of that. Whatever you give first in your life, in your finances, that's your God. Ow, right? That one had a little sharpness on it, didn't it? How do we serve God? We've got to learn to put Him first. That's what we talked about. How many of you know God will not be second? God says this, our God is a jealous God. Not in a bad way, but He is the Most High. He is before all. He is first in everything. And so He's got to be first even in my finances. Amen. He's got to be first. And we serve Him best when we give to Him first. It really is. Let me just say, the fact that you guys chose to be here today, how many of you know you set a precedent for the rest of this week? You're like, I'm giving God the first of this week. I'm giving Him the first few hours of Sunday. And let me tell you, when you start whatever you put first really sets the standard for the rest of your day. I don't know, like if you've missed a Sunday and it's like, man, why did my week go so rough? It's like, oh, I got to put God first. Like anybody ever wake up in the morning and it was a really bad day, you know, everything went wrong and then the rest of your day went wrong. And you're like, man, you know, I got to go back to bed, right? Because this has been a bad day. Listen, you got to put God first. Put God first in your attention, your heart. When you do that, it really sets the pace. Amen. So what does it take to put God first? It takes faith to put God first in everything, first of all, but even in our finances. It's not like, you know, oh, I'm going to talk about this. Oh, no problem. No, I'm going to start doing that. It is a test. And I can just tell you, I've heard a lot of different preachers, pastors, they've taught on tithing and giving. And they're like, ever since I was 4 years old, I've always given my 10% to God. Or a couple, we've been married and all these years, we've always done that. Well, I'm just here to tell you today, that Pastor Colleen and I, that was not us. We did not learn this whole aspect. We heard about it, but we're one of those pastors that have not always tithed. When we were younger in marriage and I was in the military and we made excuses. But I want to tell you, as long as we lived our life, occasionally we would, but then we would not. It was a bumpy road. And it wasn't really until we said, okay, God, you're going to be first in our finances. And we're going to put you number one. And when that happened, let me tell you, it didn't happen overnight. But I want to tell you, God began to slowly shift things around for us to where it wasn't that struggle anymore. Like God has blessed us. And the more that we bless others, the more that we give God. It's true. You cannot outgive God. I know it's a churchy cliche that we say, but it's absolutely true. So we learned that. So I got a few people that are going to come up here, and they're going to be adjusting. How many of you are okay if we have a little bit of fun here? All right, so you guys be patient with me. So don't worry about them right now as they're moving that down, because I want to share something out of Matthew chapter 6, and it won't be on the screen on the TV. It'll be over on the sides. But Jesus said this in verse 31. He says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? How many of you know? Don't worry. Basically, he's saying, don't worry about your house payment. Don't worry about your insurance, right, which is getting more ridiculous. Don't worry all about my food. He's just saying, listen, I know you've got stuff. And he's saying, don't worry about it. And he says this, what, in verse 32, for pagans run after these things, and guess what? Your heavenly Father knows what you need. Right. How many of you know God already knows all of our needs? Yes. There's nothing you can be like, God, did you see this bill? Like, oh, man, you got the, you know, propane bill? Don't you love that one in the middle of the summer or winter? It's like, oh, that one hurt. God already knows. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. Listen, you don't need to worry about it. Your heavenly Father already knows. And look what it says in verse 33. This was my verse all last month. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all of these things that we worry about, God is going to take care of it. Amen. Listen, I'm not going to take care of it. I'm doing my own, but God will. God's the one that owns all of the resources. And so, first of all, we got to get to the point, and this is where faith comes in. I got to stop worrying, and I got to start trusting. All right. Sometimes I remember the first time, and I'm not going to share our whole testimony, but we're like, okay, God, you know, I was in the army at the time, and we're like, okay, God, we're going to trust you. And we wrote out our tithe check back when they had checks, right? And we were holding it, and we're both praying over it. And the offering, we're like, oh, I mean, we did it scared, right? I'm just telling you, I know the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver, but he took it from a couple of scaredy cats at that moment, right? And we did it, and let me tell you, God bless that, right? God bless that, and I wish I had time to tell all of it, but I'm not going to. I'm just telling you that God is faithful, amen? God is faithful, so the key to a life is begin to put God first, begin to trust him. Let me give you one more verse. Oh, you guys did fast, right? I'm going to give you this other verse out of Deuteronomy 14. Oh, look, you're back there doing that. Deuteronomy 14, it says you must tithe all of your crops every year. How many of you know tithing is biblical? Tithing actually means 10%. It does. It's a percentage of whatever I get, whatever my income. If you sell a piece of land, guess what? Somebody blesses you with a gift. And we were having this conversation the other day. We've gotten gift cards from some of you guys, and we really appreciate it. Sometimes you give us cash. I don't know if you know it, and I'm not saying this to boast, but I've tithed off of gift cards. Get a $50 gift card, God's getting $5, right? Because I want to be faithful. I'm not being legalistic about it or anything, but I just want to give back to God what belongs to God. Amen? Because he has blessed me to an extent. And then verse 23, it says, bring this tithe to eat before the Lord your God at the place he shall choose as a sanctuary. That's why we believe, yes, the tithe needs to come into the storehouse. That's what the scripture teaches. Why? Because God wants to do stuff here. Listen, missionary, we got all kinds of stuff that it goes to. It does not go in my pocket. I remember a kid one time, wow, you're so lucky, Pastor Scott, you get all that money that comes in. I'm like, no, I don't. My salary is set. I don't get, you know, if we got more, it doesn't mean I just get to pocket more, right? But then he goes, this applies to your grain, new wine, olive oil, firstborn of your flocks. And then catch this last one. Let's flip to the last page right there. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. Why does God want that? Because he wants our heart. And when we begin to put him first in our life, that's why whatever it comes, it goes to God. And listen, I don't like to split hairs about, you know, we've had conversations with people, do I tithe off my net or do I tithe off my gross? Let me tell you, if I'm having that conversation, we decided long ago, we're just going to give God whatever's bigger. All right, we're just going to, because I want a gross blessing, not a net blessing, amen? Right, so I don't want to split hairs about it. Whatever it is, I mean, getting income taxes back, even though I paid in all of that money, or we paid in all of that money through the year, and I paid extra because I had one time where I owed, and that stinks, right? So I made sure that we pay extra, and it comes in. And listen, I even give off of that. Well, you don't have to. Well, we gave it to projects. Good News India could go to the building fund. We wanted to go to God, amen? Again, I'm not legalistic. I don't think you got to be legalistic about it, but I just want to give God. I want to show the gratitude that I have to God. So I want to give you this. Let me scoot my table back here because let's just have a little fun with this. And I just wanted to give you a visual of what it looks. And, they grew up in an agricultural society. So whatever came in, it's like, okay, you get. So we've got some fruit and vegetables over here. And let's see, what do you got here? Watermelon. How many watermelons are there? 10 of them. So how many of these belong to God? How many? Yes. Let's have one of them. If we're talking about tithe, if you get 10 watermelons, guess what? God gets one. And guess what? You get to keep 9 of them. Uh-oh, good catch. And we've got, what are these? Do you know? She doesn't know what it is. Who knows what it is? Spaghetti squash. If you're trying to lose weight, this is a great substitute for pasta. I'm just telling you. So if you've got 10 of them, how many does God get?
One,
right? It's like, all right, God, you get that right there. All right, do we got any other? There's all the spaghetti squash going in, all the watermelons. I was going to buy some pineapples, but they were so brown and disgusting looking. So, All right, what do we got here? What is that? A mango. How many you got in that bag?
Ten
of them. So God gets one, right? Okay, so we're just having fun. How many of you know God doesn't get the leftover? He gets what? The first one, right?
Not the rotten one.
Not the rotten one. And I hope we don't have... So what do we got here?
Sweet potatoes.
These are good. And you got 10 of them there? So guess how many God gets?
One,
right? So let's put that there. All right. What do you got in that bag?
Celery.
So how many does God get?
All of it.
No, all of it. Well, God gets what? Does he get the last one or should he get the first one? All right. Well, you put all those on your table. Which one's the first one? All right, I'm going to take one of them right there. Remember, we got to put it to God first, right? He doesn't just get the leftover. All right, what else we got here? All right, well, we got how many potatoes we got?
Regular potato,
right? With a little sour cream and butter. And so God gets one of those, right? So we're putting that there. Now what do we got? We got an apple. You got 10 of those in the bag, right? So, and all we got to do is just give God one, right? One apple. All right. I saw another one there. Nice bell pepper. How many you got in that bag?
10.
How'd you know? Because I told you earlier, right? So 10 of, we get to keep 9 of them. We're just giving God one. That's it. All right. What do we got in here next? All right. How many you think are in the bag?
10.
And God gets?
One.
He gets one, right? We're giving that back to him. We got a lot of fruit here.
Cilantro.
And how many does God get? Exactly right. I felt really generous, and it's like sometimes God will say, hey, listen, just give it to me all, and I'm more than welcome. I actually bought cilantro yesterday. First time in my life. All right, we got bananas. How many does God get?
One
right there. That looks like we just really gave a good offering, right? That was good news, India, right there. So, all right. If it goes, starts overflowing, just start putting it down on the front. All right. What do we got here?
Zucchini.
You got 10 of them there? I know because I bought them. And God gets
one,
right? And we've got 10 carrots. Actually, I think there's 11 in the bag, but shh. And so God gets
one
and a quarter. There we go. All right, we got mandarin oranges. How many of you guys like that? You get a bag of 10 of them, and we just give God
one.
All right, we got a lime. So guess what? I know this is like you're counting really redundant, but I want you guys to kind of get the visual here. Like God blesses us with so much abundance, and all he is saying, listen, I want you to return just 1/10. Yes, a cucumber here. Larry Boy for any VeggieTale fans. So we just give God one of these. We got avocados and lemons falling. I got this one right here. So God gets one. You get to keep all those other lemons there. Is that all of them? All right. So I wanted to do this just to kind of give you a visual. Like look at how much God blesses us with. Amen. Our life is so blessed. God pours out. And I want you to understand that when you give that to God, God takes this 90%. And, you know, just like an apple, I heard this phrase before. You know, you can count the seeds in an apple, but you can't count the number of apples in a seed. Amen. When we choose to give to God, just 1/10. I mean, that's it. How many of you know this is the Lord's table? We don't want to mess with God's table. I don't want to keep it. That's why I give it first. Because if I keep it and say, okay, God, at the end of the month, I'll see what I got left over, then guess what? I never have enough. Anybody ever experienced that? I just never have enough. And it's like, well, God, I guess today, this month, you're getting 2%. Right? But we have found, listen, I'm talking from experience, and I know many of you guys, especially in our first service, I mean, there's some amazing stories that God provided in ways that were supernatural. Amen? That we're supernatural. And it's like, if I can just begin to live my life, I remember a quote, another quote by Billy Graham. I didn't put it up there, but he says, if you can't live your life off of 90%, then you're never going to live your life off 100%. I don't have his finger, but I'm putting it up there anyway. Because I want to wrap it with a challenge for you guys. I don't want to just talk about it. How many of you know I'm not trying to get more money for you for any other reasons. I believe that when you embrace this principle that God has put in his word, that it actually gets money to you. God begins to pour blessings into your life. And it's like a lot of times we're struggling because we're trying to live off our 100%. And listen, God's ways are different than ours, aren't they? God's ways are so different than ours. And it's like, but that doesn't make sense, Pastor Scott. How is it if I give 10% that God's going to provide more? I don't know, because it's supernatural. It's supernatural. And so before you guys leave, actually, yeah, if you guys want to go around and just hand out, we're doing something here. Can we go to that next slide? A 90-day tithe. If you tithe already, praise God. But if it's something that you have struggled with, we're just giving you a challenge, 90 days, say, because the scripture says, and on the back of the card, it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. Actually, God says to test him. Put me to the test, right? And I know it's kind of funny because at one point that he says, do not test the Lord your God. But God has given you permission in this area. He says, test me in this. And he says, see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much of a blessing that you will not have enough room for it. We think, ooh, I'm going to invest in the stock market. Ooh, I'm going to invest in this. Ooh, I'm going to do that. Those are all great, but I want to tell you, investing into the kingdom has eternal rewards. And I'm not going to be up here like, if you give God $100, he's going to give you $1,000. I'm not going to say that, but I will tell you what, he will give you the things that you need. How many of you know money is not the answer to everything? There's a lot of rich people that are miserable. They're still looking for satisfaction, right? And they're trying. They're trying, yeah. So, but I want to tell you, God will pour out peace. Some of the blessings are restored relationships. Some of the blessings are just joy. Having joy, the joy of the Lord, and Pastor Colleen mentioned that earlier, is our strength. How do I get joy? Man, learning to live that generous life. And so my challenge to you is like, and you know, especially if you're married, take it home. I'm not taking these cards up because this is between you and God. I just want you to know I don't go look at the offering every week like who gave and who didn't give. All right? That's not my job because this is between you and God. And I just want to challenge you, would you dare to trust God for 90 days and see what God will begin to do in your life? Amen? And I'm not going to say, well, if nothing happens, we'll give it all back to you. No, we're not going to do that. I've heard churches do that. But I'm not the guarantor of it. How many of you know I'm not the guarantor of it? God is. But I believe that he will bless you in ways that you've been looking for, satisfaction that you've not seen. Like that number that we put up earlier, $44,000 that has been given that's going to see souls won to the kingdom of God. How many of you want to be a part of that? Amen? I want to be a part of what God is doing. I'm not going to just come to church and like, oh yeah, do my church thing. I did it. I'm out of here. Peace out, guys. No, I want to be a part of what God is doing. Amen? And God is about building his kingdom. And guess what? God uses money to funnel into the kingdom to go out into the uttermost parts of the world. Amen? So I just want to pray for you here today. And listen, after service, if you need prayer for anything additional, we got some people that will be here. But I just want to pray a blessing. And Father, I just thank you right now. Lord, I thank you for being a part of a generous church. Lord God, this principle is lived out in so many different people's lives. But Lord, all of us are at different levels in our walk with you. Lord, this may be the first time some people have even heard this or really even understood that this is not about you trying to get money. It's about you trying to get our heart. And so, Lord, where we've held back, Lord God, where stinginess and maybe just out of fear. Lord God, I know for a while we didn't tithe because we were afraid. We didn't trust. And Lord, you brought us across that bridge to begin to trust you even when it was difficult. And so, Lord God, I pray for each one that is here. Lord, maybe some that are watching online. Lord God, that they would experience the joy of being a generous person. And Lord, the blessings that will begin to pour back into their life. Lord, if we follow your way, then Lord, you're going to bless us. And we know that. And so, Father, I just thank you right now. Pray your blessing over each one. And in Jesus' name, amen.